Well, good morning, everyone. This is Bob Elson, and we're set as usual with our Sunday morning show here in the lobby of our downtown office, a marvelous location at 72 East Randolph that is getting to be more popular every day. Stop in anytime and get acquainted with the nice people here at Northwest Federal at 72 East Randolph. You know, it's just a week from today, and the Super Bowl will be played, and man, they should have some kind of an audience. That's a week from today, Dallas against Denver, and the game, as most of you know, is going to be played at New Orleans. We'll talk about that with our guest today, an old friend of mine of many, many years and one of the real nice guys in football, Bobby Douglas, the former quarterback of the Bears and now a quarterback with the New Orleans Saints. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Say, is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you whenever you're ready, and ready to offer savers the kind of services you get with the Northwest card, a special feature available to savers who maintain a $500 balance. And here's what you get: traveler's checks, special occasion checks, registered checks, all with no service charge. Need document photocopies or lamination? It's free with the Northwest card. There's a special quick check cashing ID card with your picture. Even special vacations for Northwest Card members. So get a world of the services you need often by getting a Northwest Card at any of six convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland. Here at our new downtown location at 72 East Randolph. Be part of a special group and be a special person at Northwest Federal anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours. We're delighted to have an old friend here with us today, Bobby Douglas, who is a prominent restaurateur besides being a football player. He is one of the partners in a great organization called Let Us Entertain You. How much work do you do with the organization, Bobby?
Well, of course, Bob, it's hard. It's difficult when I'm away from Chicago playing with Saints. But when I get back, I work with PR, mainly with PR. Last year, I actually worked in the pump room because we just had just opened and been open about 6 months.
When you say pump room, that's close to home with me.
That's right, very close to home with you. And we've been working on the pump room, and last year I, of course, worked in there for 3 or 4 months every day, spent a lot of hours there. And this year I'm going to basically be doing PR and promotion work with all six of our restaurants.
Uh-huh. Well, that'll keep you busy.
Well, it keeps me pretty busy, yeah. It's with six of them, and I think we're going to probably open two more in the next year. So it'll keep me real busy.
How's your lovely wife and family?
Everybody's fine. Got another one on the way.
Oh, that's just great. You know, I was mentioning the fact coming on the air here today that next week is Super Bowl weekend, and everybody's talking about it already. As a professional quarterback and as a fellow close to football, I know it's a great part of your life, and I'm sure you're as interested in that game as everybody else is. How do you analyze it? What are the pluses? What are the minuses for each team?
Well, of course, Bob, this year it's a game where you have a team who everybody thought would be in the Super Bowl from the NFC, and, of course, a team who almost nobody thought would be there from the AFC. So a lot of people are going to say it's not going to be as close a game as they possibly would have thought if an Oakland or somebody else, a defending champion, had gotten in it. I personally felt like the Denver-Oakland game, I actually picked Denver to win that game only because I felt like with the momentum and playing in Denver, I really felt like they were in a position where they would play a great game and had a great chance of beating them, which they did. I thought they would pressure Stabler a lot, which I think they did for the most part. And I felt like it'd be a close game, but I picked Denver basically because they were playing in Denver. Now, I think it's a great advantage for Denver to play at their home stadium, whereas I feel in the Super Bowl, neither team is going to have that great of an advantage. But I really believe that Denver, because of the way they've played the last 2 or 3 weeks, because of the momentum that they have, will play, I think, the same type of game they played against Oakland, a very inspired football game. So I think it'll be a close game. If you want to analyze the teams, I would say that Dallas, from a physical standpoint, talking about talent, yeah, has a little edge because of the offense. I think that Dallas has more offensive people than Denver has. I think that although because of Morton, who's been around the league, realizes that he has maybe not as much talent, will play a little more conservative, and I believe that from a mistake standpoint, I believe Denver has an edge, and mistakes are normally 75% of the games are won or lost by mistakes. The other 25% are won because the team physically just goes out and beats another team. I don't think that'll happen in this game, so I think mistakes are going to be a big part of the game. And I think Denver's got an edge there on offense. Material-wise, Dallas has the edge. Defense, I would have to say Denver has a little edge, but they're very, very similar defensively. Both are aggressive teams. Both have great talent individually. I think Denver has an edge in their linebackers and safeties, especially the corners and the safeties, defensive backs. So, you know, I really think it's close to a toss-up game. I think the point spread is 5-6 points, but I think that's due to the fact that Denver has experience and has a little more offensive talent than Dallas, I should say, has a little more experience and offensive talent than Denver. So I would have to say that it'll be an exceptional football game. I think there will be probably more enthusiasm in this game than you've seen in a Super Bowl in a long time. Basically because you've got a team like Denver who was not picked to be there and a team like Dallas who hasn't really won a Super Bowl in several years. And they have a lot of young players who felt like they could make it. Now they've gotten there. I think they're going to be a very enthused Dallas team, much more enthusiastic than you've seen a Dallas team play because they've always been a veteran type team. So I think what's surrounding, and I can tell you because of the fact I've probably gotten 15, 20 calls from people all over the country that want tickets, I've never seen a game or never heard of a Super Bowl where there are more people trying to go down there from Denver and Dallas and more money being spent. There's a lot of enthusiasm surrounding the game, and I think all of that will carry right into the football stadium, and I think it'll be one of the most exciting Super Bowls in the first half, and I think mistakes will be the thing that could decide it, because anytime you have great enthusiasm, you're going to see a tendency for a team to possibly make more mistakes. Of course, they're both great veteran teams, so that you never know about that.
Bobby Douglas, when you talk about the defensive secondary, and you saw Martin complete in the last few games a couple of long passes, and he completed one against Oakland, thrown against Waters and that partner of his back there, that's another story.
Well, I think you're right. I think the big thing that helps the secondary at Dallas, although their safeties are good, I think their corners are a little younger than they've been in the past. They've got excellent safeties. Both are second team all pros. Although it's the same way with Denver, both have excellent safeties on both teams. I think the corners are a little better on Denver, to be honest with you. I think the pass rush is much better on Dallas, depending on the type of team Dallas is playing. But the pass rush is probably better, which, of course, that's what really makes the secondary look a lot better when you have that pass rush. Morton is an intelligent guy who is not going to get himself in a lot of trouble, though, so I don't think he'll throw the ball up. He's got a couple receivers who are capable of making the big play. Both of his receivers have great hands. Dalvin, who played here with the Fire, as you know, is I think one of the most underrated receivers in football. And, of course, the receiver last week who caught the touchdown pass made a great run. He does a lot of things when he gets the ball. He's got great speed. So Morton has the capability of going long also. And, of course, he throws the ball well long. And, of course, Dallas is known coming up with a big play.
Let's talk about your position, the quarterback position. How do Morton and Staubach compare?
Well, they compare. They're different types of quarterbacks. There's no doubt about it. I think Morton is a type of a quarterback who uses his people, believes that the thing to do is play a little more conservative, not get into a situation where you have to force things. Let his defense, which is an excellent defense, play football. Dallas, on the other hand, is a more offensive team. They're going to come out and they're going to have three or four trick plays or three or four plays that they've worked on for the Denver team, special plays. They're going to throw the ball, I think, a little more than Denver will. I think they'll have more of a tendency to make some mistakes. Staubach, on the other hand, opposed to Morton, of course, Morton's got somewhat of an injury, and he's not a scrambler anyway, so I don't think that'll affect the game that much. Staubach can make two or three big plays. He can do things because he can move around. He's got great mobility. He can scramble. There's always a the possibility for him to make a big play that gives you 7 easy points, which Morton's not going to do. So you've got an edge there. But then on the other hand, I think that Staubach has a tendency possibly to make more errors than Craig Morton will.
What about those two great runners in the Dallas backfield?
Well, of course, Dallas has one great breakaway in Dorsett. And, of course, their fullback is just a very solid performer, a guy who's played there 5 or 6 years and does an excellent job. On the other hand, I think Denver has had 2 or 3 people playing for him back there. I haven't seen Denver play except in last week's game because they're in the AFC. But so I don't know what kind of year Armstrong had. He's a breakaway-type runner. He's been hurt some. And the other players they have back there are really just 3- and 4-yard runners. But they've had a good running game this year. The big thing they've done is they've gotten good field position for their offense because Denver just played great defense. And made a lot of big plays, pass interceptions, fumble recoveries, and things like this.
You know, in their last game against Oakland, their defense really impressed me.
Well, they've had a great defensive football team all year. They've, of course, started to get publicity from their defense about the 4th or 5th game of the season after they beat Oakland, and then Oakland came back and beat them. But they've got the type of a defense that is reminiscent of a college defense, but they've got great talent back there. People don't realize that that although they're great hustlers, they got great pursuit, that they've also got tremendous talent, I think, from the linebacker and their defensive backstand. And, of course, they have 1 or 2 players up front that I think are playing as well as they could play. They've got great hustle from all 11 players on their football team. That's something that you just don't see in professional football throughout the league. You know, it'd be nice to say that all these players are getting paid and I think playing with the same enthusiasm that you'd like to see them play, but I don't think players do that today in pro ball.
Bobby Douglas, as a pro yourself, you hear people comment about which team has the experience, which team has been there before. Dallas has, I don't know how many all pros on that team.
Well, Bob, that's true. Dallas has a lot of all-pros, and they've got some players that have been there, although they have a lot of young players playing right now. They haven't been to a Super Bowl in a while, although they're in the playoffs consistently. Denver, on the other hand, I think a team, anytime you're playing in Oakland and you're playing the schedule they played this year, I think you gain a lot of experience in the 2 playoff games prior to a Super Bowl. I think going into this game, experience is something that is probably not as important, you know, as really the talent in a football game, because what you're going to see is you're going to see both teams are up for the game, and experience is going to help in certain positions. I think it might help from the standpoint of an offensive line that's more experienced, say, than the Denver offensive line. The fact that Dallas really does have experience, although they've got a young player playing guard for them, they've got more experience probably in their offensive line. Denver, on the other hand, from a defensive standpoint, really has a lot of experience. Everybody talks about their defense issue, but those players have been there 3 or 4 years. They've played good defense, so they actually do have good experience. And offensively, actually, Denver has a lot of experience from the quarterback position and the receiver position. And those are positions where experience can mean something in a big game. But I think they're fairly even there. Now, the fact that the Dallas has been in playoffs and been in the Super Bowl adds something, but I don't think it adds as much as people like to think it does.
Well, there you have an experienced opinion on the big game next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, Dallas against Denver, from our guest today, Bobby Douglas, the former quarterback of the Bears, now a quarterback with the New Orleans Saints. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're back here at our Loop office, Northwest Federal, at 72 East Randolph, with our guest, Bobby Douglas, former quarterback of the Bears and now a quarterback with the New Orleans Saints. Bobby, as you look back, and you must occasionally because I know you love Chicago, do you think you had a fair chance with the Bears?
Well, I think anybody that goes into professional athletics and comes out of college, he's inexperienced, he probably doesn't know enough really to decide his future when he comes into professional football. It's really, Bob, at the mercy of the organization he's with or the people he's surrounded with. I think it's fair because it happens to everybody. It doesn't just happen to me. I feel like when I came in here, we were in a position where changes needed to be made, and they were made, but they were made 7 years after I was here. That's the only thing I would ever look back on and say was that I was unhappy about. But that's happened to a lot of people. That happened to Billy Kilmer, who was in New Orleans for 10 years before they made any changes. It's happened to people all over the all over the league. It happened to Washington Redskins. Sonny Jurgensen was there 15 years and never won. Finally, George Allen came in and they went to a Super Bowl. But those things are going to happen in football. You just have to, as a quarterback, realize that the thing you have to do is you know, be good enough to stay around and hope that someday you'll get in a position where you get an opportunity with a good football team. There are really, I think, only 10 or 12 teams every year that have a chance of possibly going to a being contenders, and I hope someday to be with one of those teams. But no, I'm not that unhappy about the fact, because I did come into a town which is to me the greatest city in the world, and I've met a lot of people here. It's been a great experience. Although I would have hoped to stay around and played on a team here that was a contender. Those things don't always happen if you're not in the right place at the right time, and I guess I realize that.
Knowing how closely you follow the fortunes of football, are you surprised at all about the Sid Gilman case?
Well, I'm a little surprised about the way they did things this year, because to really analyze it, Bob, they brought Sid in here to put more into their offense. They were, I guess, in training camp were doing more things, trying to open up their offense. Sid was running the offensive show. And then all of a sudden, I think they decided that it either wasn't what they wanted, or Jack Pardee decided he wanted to be more conservative and play defensive football and run Walter Payton 35 times a game, which is conservative. But, of course, you've got Walter Payton. I think you have to run him 30 times a game. I think you have to take pressure off of him, though. I think they wanted to do that in training camp, and for some reason, I wasn't here, so I don't know exactly what happened or how it looked in preseason. They changed their mind and decided not to. So they took really the responsibility, I guess, away from Sid, which, of course, I would think would make him unhappy. He's been a head coach most of his life, has been the guy who has run whatever situation he was in. He's been the leader. They more or less took the responsibility away from him, and I think he was obviously unhappy about that. But the fact is, they did get in the playoffs, so it's one of those situations where you can look back and say, well, should we done this or should we not done this? Would it have helped us get in the playoffs any more if we're wide open? So, you know, it's
Let me ask you this from the viewpoint of a quarterback, and I'm leaving you out of it because this is a general discussion and leaving personalities out. The Bears had Virgil Carter on the team for a couple of years, an experienced quarterback from the Paul Brown school, and I guess there's no better school than Paul Brown. If they'd have had Carter when they weren't using him, if they'd have had Carter and taken advantage of his play-calling ability and his ability to size up a defense upstairs, calling the plays, would they have been better off?
Well, it's hard to say. I think Virgil has great knowledge of football, so I would say that had they decided to use Virgil's ability, which, as you say, Paul Brown is probably as good a background as you could have, but Virgil worked at the game the whole time he was in it. I think he's a very knowledgeable football man. I think he could have done an excellent job, but it's hard to say unless you're around a player. I was around Virgil 6-7 years ago and know how he, knew his abilities maybe 3 or 4 years later when he was at Cincinnati. We've talked several times in the past and so on and so forth. But I don't really know the last 2 or 3 years what Virgil's philosophy was of offensive football compared to, say, Jack Pardee's. And the thing in football that has to happen, Bob, you have to have two people have to be together on what's going on, and I think that's what happened with Sid and Jack. They weren't together on what they wanted to do offensively, and I would have to say that possibly that's the reason that they didn't go to Virgil. But I think the other problem is when you have you bring coaches in and you tell them they're going to be running the offense, and you've had a coach there for 2 or 3 years, it's pretty hard to take a player like Virgil Carter and say, well, Virgil, you're going to run the offense. You have to decide who's going to do it, and it has to be one person, because you've got egos involved here, and you've got people that personalities involved, and it's hard to say, well, you know, we can't have 3 people doing it, because very seldom are you going to have 3 people that think alike.
Right. Let me give you another hypothetical situation. Joe Namath is evidently through now as a quarterback. There was quite a story in one of the papers about it yesterday. What if you had Namath's football brains up there? They say that he's one of the greatest guys at reading a defense and one of the greatest play callers in the world. What if you had a Namath up there calling the plays for you?
Well, again, it goes back to the same thing, Bob. I believe that if you're going to turn something over to one person, or I believe you should turn it over to one person, I don't think 2 or 3 people, very seldom can 2 or 3 people combine and run an offense. I think you have to have your offensive coordinator. You have to give him some help, but he's got to be the one that calls most of the shots.
Now, what about the man who's calling the plays now for the Bears? He hasn't had a quarterbacking experience.
No, he hasn't, but that doesn't mean that he can't do it. You don't have to be a quarterback to do it. That doesn't mean that he isn't fed enough knowledge or hasn't been fed enough knowledge in his 15 years of coaching that he can't do a good job. I would have to say that somebody that's played quarterback, like you're talking about a Namath, if Joe Namath wanted to and wanted to work at the game, 10 hours a day, 6-7 days a week like these coaches do, then Joe Namath, I think, could do a tremendous job, after a year or so experience as an assistant coach. But Joe's not in a position where he's going to have to do that, so you couldn't let a guy like Joe walk into L.A. and do it because he's got coaches there that have worked at the game 10, 15 years just like Joe has. Now, Joe has done it from, as you say, the greatest position to do it from, a quarterback, because a quarterback does study and see more probably on the field than most coaches do. But at the same time, these coaches have been through it as players 10, 15 years earlier, too. So I'm not saying that a position is the most vital thing. Experience is very important, but knowledge of being able to put it all together is a big thing. But again, you go back to this, Bob, I think you have to let one person do it. I think you're going to have more problems if you try to let two or three people do it.
Bobby Douglas, I have a great respect for the football officials, and I'm sure that you do, too. There have been some unfortunate calls here lately where the camera covers it one way and the call goes the other way, and there's been a lot of discussion about, is it feasible to have instant replays and have somebody upstairs looking at it who's an official? Is that feasible, or would it slow the game down too much?
Well, I can't tell you how much it'd slow the game down. I don't know that much about the mechanics of it. I would say definitely would slow the game down. I think it's very feasible. There's no problem. We've got enough money to do it. That's not the problem. The problem is when it slows the game down, and does it take something out of the game, which you know, basically football hasn't changed since its beginning. Basketball changed drastically a couple times. Football has really not changed, other than the fact that the forward pass was the only really drastic change. So, this would be, I think, a semi-drastic change, if I can say that. It would be close to a drastic change because we've always let human beings make the calls. And how many people would really like it? Could you try it? You'll never get anybody to try it anywhere except possibly an exhibition game. I think someday it might happen, but I really don't believe that the owners are ever going to want to make that drastic change. And that's the reason, because they feel like all of a sudden if you make that, of course they could try it and see what happens. And I think that's a possibility. I really don't think it'll ever happen because I don't know if people really want to take the human element out of the game either. I think it takes some of the excitement out of football.
That's a very good answer, and I agree with you. Our guest today is Bobby Douglas, former quarterback of the Bears, and we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Say, is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready. So Northwest Federal's open 63 hours a week. If you work evenings, you can come to Northwest Federal 6 full days. Northwest Federal's open Monday, Thursday, and Friday evenings. And if the only time you can get to Northwest Federal is 8 o'clock in the morning, that's okay too, because Northwest Federal has early bird service every morning from 8 o'clock. Yes, you'll find 6 convenient Northwest Federal savings centers throughout Chicagoland, including our great new location here at 72 East Randolph. And this location means an end to loop banker's hours, 9 to 3. That's gone out the window. Come to Northwest Federal Savings on your way to, from, or between work, shopping, or home anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours. We're delighted to have Bobby Douglas here today, former quarterback of the Bears, and also to listen to his interesting comments. I certainly have enjoyed them, and I'm sure you have too. Well, I hope Let Us Entertain You, your great restaurant organization, has a fantastic year here in the year coming up.
Well, we've grown since our inception 7-8 years ago, and we're going to probably open 2 more restaurants in the next year, so we're very happy about the way things are going by.
You've been playing for a controversial character in New Orleans, Hank Stram. What about his football philosophy?
Well, Hank is an offensive football coach, I would say, is the best way to describe him. He's been very innovative in his offensive football over the years. He's done a lot of things. He's done a lot of shifting like the Dallas team does. We use a lot of motion and shifting now. Hank's a great organizer. He's a type of guy who has come up with some players from smaller schools that have been great players, Buck Buchanan, players like this. He's taken some players that haven't, that he's brought in from other places where they haven't done quite as well. He's taken athletes. He's a great organizer, I think Hank is. I think he does the total coaching job, as well as anybody I've seen as a coach. I think he works at the game as hard as anyone I've seen, and he'll have success. It's been a tough thing for Hank because he had so much success in Kansas City, and then he's going to New Orleans where he really has to rebuild the franchise. And although New Orleans has played so well in exhibition in the early part of the season, really dropped off toward the end of the season.
What is the theory around the league as how to defense a great back like Walter Payton or the great All-American with the Dallas club? What do? Just put two guys on them and just stay with them all the time?
No, it's really not so much putting two people on them. You play a certain type of a defense where you are, where you're really trying to stop the running game. That's why, as I say, the Bears, it's no secret to the Bears that the way they stop Walter Payton is they play a certain types of defenses depending on formations, Bob, and which gets pretty technical. Which will pretty much shut off certain plays which Walter runs, and he runs basically three or four plays, and they can put any defense in, they can play the run, and anytime you concentrate on any part of defensive football, you are leaving something else that is vulnerable in the defense, which is why, as I say, the Bears thought they could maybe open up more and take advantage of some of the vulnerable areas which would be left open.
Let me ask you this: are great throwing quarterbacks born or are they developed? I'm thinking about Avellini.
Well, I think they're developed. I think you can be born with a great arm. I think then you have to develop certain skills. A lot of quarterbacking is not throwing the football. It's experience and a lot of other things. Kenny Stabler is a great example of somebody who everybody recognizes now as a super quarterback, which I think Kenny is. Kenny really was not a highly sought after player. He quit football and no one really picked him up. And from a physical standpoint, you know, he was not doing a lot. But the thing is, Kenny had the ability and he was developed with a great organization out there with great protection and he'd become a super quarterback.
He certainly has. Bobby, I want to thank you so much for making this trip down here to our, how do you like this new Loop office?
Oh, it's beautiful. I'll tell you, it's very convenient. I'm sure the people that are working down around here, it's, of course, Northwest Federal has been one of the leading, savings and loan organizations in the country, and they're fastest growing, I guess, in the country now. Let me say one thing very quickly about Bob Avellini, because you mentioned, I think Bob did an excellent job this year. A lot of people have asked me. I really had said some things a couple years ago. I said, well, I thought maybe at that point they should be playing Huff because of his experience, but Bob's done an excellent job, I think.
Thank you so much, Bobby Douglas, and lots of good luck, good health, and happiness to you in the year ahead.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Bobby Douglas has been our guest. Next week, one of the all-time great Cubs will be here, Ernie Banks. You're invited to come in and meet him. Have a happy weekend, and this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.